Today is March 21st, 1993. We're interviewing Judge Ford for the Oral History Project. My partner is Marcy Schwartz. This is Sherman Respect. We are very pleased to come to the second part of our interview with you, Judge.
Very pleased to have.
And I want to continue with some of the questions that we asked about you or from you about your family. Can you tell me a little bit more about the life of your mother? What did she do?
Well, I guess my mother started off life as a secretary working for the Globe Furniture Corporation, which was 10th and Penn in Pittsburgh. Company that was owned by her father. They had a chain of furniture stores. She worked there until she married.
I see.
After she married, she became a housewife.
So does she come from a big family?
Yes, I think there were two boys and five girls.
So what do you know?
She was sort of in the middle.
I see. Can you talk a little bit about them?
Yes. My grandfather's name was David Rosenthal, and his wife was Hannah. There's two sons, Ben and Jacob. They were in the business with their father, and there were several sisters. The oldest was Miss Molly, who was Mrs. Ben Wolf. She was followed by Mrs. Lewis Nevins of the Tanning Pennsylvania. And then there was Sadie Rich, and my mother. And then there were Esther Rosenthal and Marie Cotton.
Mm-hmm. Was your mother, where was your mother born?
Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Very good. Can you tell us a little bit more about your children?
Sure.
You mentioned that
I
you have
four children.
Right.
My oldest is my daughter, Linda, who has a master's degree from the University of Southern California. Graduated from the University of Pittsburgh. And she is presently in Washington, D.C. And she's a lobbyist for various banking corporations. My number one son, Henry, is a lawyer. He recently quit his job and retired from his job at the new airport. He in charge of all the leasing commercial properties there. And he has moved to Paris, France. He's trying to find suitable at this particular time. My next son, Louis, who is also a lawyer, he speaks Chinese fluently. He's after spending several years Reed Smith-Shaw McClay, he decided he wanted to go into the family real estate company where he is right now. My youngest son, also a lawyer, he went to the church school in Connecticut, then he went to Kenyon College, then he took a master's in Columbia University, then he went to Pitt Law School, and he's now working Bucks County, Pennsylvania, for the Pitt Care and Interest, the family that owns, the principal owns the Pittsburgh Pitt Plants. It's very successful.
Can you give us the date of the years that your children were born?
Is 37.
What is her name?
Linda.
Okay.
My next child, Henry, is 36, Lewis is 35, and Nathan is 39.
Can we ask you the question when you were born, Judge?
I was born July 27, 1916.
Well, I would like to ask you, Judge, now a little bit about your wife and about her life a little bit and how you met, how you courted each other, and how you got married. You can go in that sequence.
My wife.
What is her name?
It's Florence Kaminsky.
Okay.
She graduated from the University of Pittsburgh and had a master's degree in social work. We met through rather an unusual circumstance. At that time, I had an office in Oakland.
What year was that? Do you remember?
That was 36 years ago. There was a ball game that the Pirates were playing in the afternoon. A friend of mine walked into the office and said, when you marry us, you know, everybody that you're going with in particular. He said, I got a sister in law, she's tough as hell to satisfy. I said, why don't you give her a call? Very nicely took out a piece of paper with her and talked. And maybe a couple of weeks later, I picked up the phone and called her young lady. She told her she had recommended her brother. You know, I don't believe it. She never recommended anybody before. You know, this is an exception to things she did. So, I guess this was Saturday, and I said, I'm sorry, Sunday I'm going to a party, and Monday I'm going to be too tired to go to the party. How about Tuesday night? She was curious enough to see what the city had looked like, and she responded to me. Sure enough, they were not Tuesday. From there on, it was, we hit it off.
How long?
Following May, we got, following June, we got married.
And can you describe us the wedding ceremony to us?
Yes.
Where was it?
It was at the Webster Hall Hotel. It was a small wedding. Her immediate family, her mother was married, and her sister and brother-in-law and their children were there. My brother and my sister were there. And that was about it. Very small wedding. Rabbi Herman Halper conducted the service, and then we went off on our honeymoon.
Where did you go on your honeymoon?
First stop is in Bedford Springs, and from Bedford Springs to Walnut Spray in New York, and then we went down to the Marlboro Glenheim Hotel in New York City, and then we came home.
Now, after you get married, you set up the house, and as you said, your children. Can you tell us, Judge, how was it to raise children in those years in comparison to what it is today?
Well, as youngsters, they were dropped. Well, our house was closer. We moved into my family home. I lived there with my brother and my housekeeper. Moved right in, the house was there, and gradually remodeled it by the stuff, so to speak. We were just one block from Whiteman School, and my children had gone to school from Whiteman School, where I had gone, my brother and sister had gone to Whiteman School.
That's two generations of going to the same school?
Mm-hmm.
I see. Can you tell us or describe to us some of, did you have some specific home practices or traditions at home that you observe?
Well, you're talking about I'm growing up or
well,
my family's
well, you had your children, raising well, your children.
Well, we tried to run a Reformed Jewish household. We were Vermont. He always maintained a membership in the Tree of Life City. He always had a working relationship with Beth Dominguez Shigoto, the Orthodox Center. And later we joined the temple, the British Temple.
And that's
so in theory, we kept memberships in three synagogues.
So you were kind of doing all three in different ways?
Well, it was Beth Hamidrash.
Where was that?
That's on Washington Street. That's the old-time Orthodox show.
What part of the city was it in?
The Hill District.
The Hill District, okay.
And
where was the Tree of Life at the time?
Well, when we joined, when my children were growing up, it was on Shady Avenue, where it is now.
I see. And
I knew it from Kraft Avenue. My father took us as children.
And where is Kraft? Where was it? Kraft? Very good. Now, you have discussed with us a little bit earlier about your professional life. Can you tell us, Judge, who was most influential in your experience on your life that led you to your career, the development of the choice that you have made?
My father. Okay,
can you
father was an extraordinary human being. He had to quit school in high school.
Mm-hmm.
Never did finish high school.
Why did we have to quit?
His father had died when he was very young. He and his brothers were supporting their mother. And he went to work. And he helped support the family. But my father never went to bed without every night he made it. To memorize one new word. We had just a magnificent grandfather. He was a man of great affairs, and those who knew him basically loved him. He was kind, he was good, he was charitable, and very influential. And his partner with him. Back in those days, with the political leaders of Pennsylvania. And as a result, people came to him, and he was responsible for many of them getting into medical school. Because in those days, there was a very severe program. Jewish Yetzis to medical school. So I would beat a path to our door and see if he could help me again. Also was able to dispense a great number of state scholarships. He was part of the state senate, gave them the scholarships, dispense among people in the district, and he emphasized a great number of Jewish people at the school for his efforts. And in addition to that, they ran out of scholarships, they used their own money to send people to school. One of the best examples I can give you is an attorney of national fame called Leonard Marx. He lived in the Third Ward of the city of Pittsburgh, which is in the Hill District. His father was a deputy constable of the Third Ward. He came to see my father. My father made a scholarship available, but he was a senatorial scholarship that required $350 a year. The rest of the state couldn't. After a couple of weeks, Leonard came back to see my father. Mr. Schwartz, I'm going to return the scholarship. He said, I meant to be very honest with you, I cannot raise the $50. We're talking about during the Depression years. So my father said, you go to school and we'll see if you make a $50. not only did he go to school and became one of the outstanding graduates of the University of undergraduate school, he went to law school and was the top man in his class at Pitt Law School. And all his career, he ended up in Washington as head of the Office of Information. He was one of the outstanding communication lawyers in the world. It all started in Pittsburgh, of the office. That's the kind of things that happen.
So that was the impact that your other has made on you and what he has done.
Well, we've tried to learn from his lessons.
That's wonderful.
He was just an outstanding. Remember, many a time I saw him sitting in his office and he had grave financial problems of his own. And I'm emphasizing this because these are the Depression years. The company was in absolute financial turmoil. And they'd be sitting there and banks would be threatening to close in real estate and this, that, and next. And people would walk in with their problems. He'd sit there listening to their problems all day and tend to forget his problems, which were much more severe than his if he was listening.
So these are your memories as an adult. Can you share with us something that is outstanding from your earlier childhood years, Dad? If you remember of your father?
I have nothing. I can speak from now till doomsday.
So can you share with us some of those things?
Well, he was just a good man.
I see.
And outstanding. One of the things that he did in Squirrel Hill, he got together with four or five other men, and they delivered packages at homes for those who they knew didn't have food but were too proud to ask for food. I'm talking about homes in the Fair Oaks, that area that today are homes that are worth $200,000-$300,000.
What area of the city is it, Fair Oaks in?
14th.
Okay.
And they used to deliver these packages at night, and the people would come up, get up the next morning, they'd find the packages at their door. I don't think you were in the country at those things, were you? It was really disastrous.
Yeah, what year are we talking about? The Depression?
Well, the Depression struck in 32, and I'm talking
I wasn't
about,
born yet.
31 to up to 34, up until the time Roosevelt got in and changed things around. He was just a good man.
I agree. Can you describe to us, Judge, what is your present situation? Are you now in practice as a judge? Can you give us more description about your present work?
I am currently assigned as a senior judge. That means I'm past retirement age in what they call the Orphans Court Division. Primarily, I deal with trust and estates, guardianships, incapacitated individuals and doctors.
So how many years have you been practicing judge until you retired?
I never stopped practicing. I've been a judge since for 20 years.
For 20 years, I see. Can you discover some of your unusual judgments or some of the unique cases that you could share
One of my most recent cases in the trial was Charles Morris Trust. Mr. Morris was a rough and tough individual who was unmarried. When he passed away, he left his estate of an unknown value to Jewish charities, primarily Jewish charities. And the very difficult work, one of the most difficult things I've ever faced. We were able to raise $22 million, which is in trust. Primarily, it's to be used for the income to be used for. Perhaps building a new building for the Jewish Home for the Aged. Last week there was a dinner with the yeshiva. We've been giving them about $100,000 a year. And, I could spend the rest of the week telling you about the pitfalls of various people who tried to upset the Morris Trust. We resisted all their efforts and we came home with that kind of money. It's a real boon to the Jewish community. 95% of the income is going to Jewish causes.
Can you tell us if you have volunteered in any organizations, some things you've done in those volunteer organizations?
Say that again.
Have you volunteered in any other in various organizations?
Well, I've been involved in a lot of civic organizations.
Can you give us some of those names?
Well, I was a leader in the fight against the abuses of redevelopment. The class one example is what they did to East Liberty. Familiar with that? It used to be a thriving community. When the planners got finished with it, there was very little left of it. And I stopped the Chancellor of Litchfield in his tracks because he wanted to do the Oakland and they did the East Liberty. And I worked to the north side on the East Street Highway.
What did he want to do to Oakland?
He wanted to take everything and turn it over to the university. I was able to do my influence in Washington, D.C. to stop it. The first time in the history of the country that a redevelopment process was waylaid and stopped coal in its tracks.
Can you describe to us, Judge, social life that you have led and the social activities you have had, family vacations, things like that? What did you do for fun?
Well, we traveled a great deal with my family. I made it an article of faith that at least once a year I would take a month off and travel with my family. We traveled throughout the United States and through Europe. And we always would take the children with us.
What was your most favorite part of the United States?
I guess the most memorable trip was when I went to California, all through California, one end of the state.
What was so memorable about California?
Just a lot of fun.
I see.
With the family.
I see. Do you have any hobbies?
Yes.
What are your hobbies?
Interesting hobby is politics.
I see. Oh, can you describe that to us? So I'm going to ask a question you don't have to answer. Are you a registered Republican or a Democrat?
No, I'm a registered Democrat.
I see. Can you describe to us Democrat politics?
No. Mr. Clinton, I refer you to Mr. Clinton.
I see. Okay. Have you, you've been involved in elections of various officials?
I've been involved in elections. Involved in strategists on many of them. People come to me all the time
for advice. Okay.
The last one was about 9 o'clock this morning.
I see. Can you tell us who's going to be? Do you have an idea who might be our next mayor?
That is rather obvious, but you can figure that out.
Okay, all right. Can you describe to us the neighborhood where you grew up, or I assume that, if I remember correctly, this is where you live now, to us,
well,
the neighborhood.
It's a very lovely neighborhood.
How it changed through the years?
It's interesting how it changed. When I first started, when I first grew up, it was a, we were one of the few Jewish families living in that area.
So who was living there before?
Gentiles.
Any specific ethnic group or?
No, just good old fashioned loss. Then it became a little bit more mixed with Reform or conservative Jewish people. Now, it is absolutely becoming an area for the most Orthodox of Jews. Who incidentally have a great pride in their homes and spend a little bit of fortunes keeping their homes. And they sort of keep themselves too.
Have you made any friends with them? Or?
No. We know them to say it publicly.
I see.
We have not made friends.
I see. What kind of cultural activities do you like? What kind of music do you like?
Oh,